Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
I was just sad because I thought this was the last time, so I was gonna cry, but then I realized it
Oh my God, no,
wasn't.
it's not the last time.
Oh. We got one more at least.
Stop.
Welcome to Talks with Camelot, episode 14, Hype Bubble's very own podcast, all about BBC's hit fantasy series, Merlin. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We have a jam-packed show. We have a jam-packed panel because this is the penultimate episode of Merlin forever. So sad.
I love how that came, like, forever.
Anyway, so everyone's here. I'm here. Pamela's here. Well, obviously, apparently I'm two people down. It's really
wow.
Late. Oh,
you're
really
forgetting
tired.
Your own name. Or do you have an alias name that you're going to start using?
I'm actually, you know, I'm split personality, apparently. My name is Pamela, and I'm here, I think. And Jess is here, maybe. And Prestige is here. Selena's here, and we also have TJ back, and TJ is very important because
yes.
Our
yes.
show,
keep us in check.
You know that we have just, I don't even know, I think Merlin has driven us crazy, so TJ's here to bring the normalcy back to the podcast.
Keep you from throwing things.
Yeah.
Keep us from throwing things and or crying.
So we still can't guarantee neither will happen.
I might break down first.
Are outnumbered, TJ.
Yes.
There's a lot of angry estrogen on this show.
One angry testosterone person.
Angry testosterone. All right. Well, we're going to get right into the news. We do have a couple of news stories to catch you guys up on. First up, your weekly Merlin official advent calendar updates. There's been some pretty fun videos that have gone up since we last recorded. Angel Colby answered the question, what was it like to kiss Bradley James? And I'm sure all of you ladies are A, super jealous, and B, totally want to know. So check that out on hypeable.com. One of my favorite videos was when they asked Bradley and Colin if they thought Arthur was a quote unquote hunky killing machine.
I love that one.
It's amazing.
And I love doing the write up for that too, because it's just, you have videos like that. What do? You know?
Yeah. And I just love that they were like, when did, I think it was like Bradley was like, when did anyone ever call me a hunky killing machine? And they're like, oh, and that one Icelandic video interview with that one lady. And he's like, okay. And Colin's just like sitting there trying to be serious and not laugh. And
well, he does that one little point where he does like a little eyebrow raise.
Yeah. Yeah. And like a first lip eyebrow raise. It's great. That video is pure gold. Definitely suggest checking that out. As you can tell, we all really loved it. And all of those are up on the Merlin archives on hypeable.com for your enjoyment. Next up, we got an interview with the full main core four cast. They reflected on series five as a whole. One of the questions that the interviewer asked was, do you feel your comedy relationship has blossomed over the last 5 years? And Bradley had an adorable quote in that interview. And he said that he thinks him and Colin have gone on a very similar journey as Arthur and Merlin. And it's just so funny because we see the way they interact now, and it kind of like, you just like get a feel for how they play off of each other as people, you know, as a cast. And so it's like, it's crazy to think that like 5 years ago, like none of them knew each other because they work so well on screen. Don't you guys think?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to make some kind of joke about, yeah, you can really see that Colin has aged lately, but I never mind.
I was on Tumblr the other day, and there was this it was like a picture of like Colin Morgan. I think like he did like some publicity something rather, and somebody like had captioned it with like, Colin Morgan, the only human being who's gone through puberty twice.
No.
And I thought of you, Selena, because you're like amazed at the fact that his voice has apparently dropped two octaves. Like,
it has though. I wonder if now, you know, looking back on it now, I wonder if they were, like, preparing us for the end. Like, they were making him seem older or something. I don't even know.
Everything needs to be darker and everybody's voice needs to be lower.
Darker. We should all speak like this during the podcast.
Oh, yes. We'll all sound like
yes.
Oh,
Yeah,
Oh, hold
Katie
on.
McGrath has dropped a lot too.
Yes, it's true. Sorry to interrupt. Is there someone who has like a dog with a collar?
Yeah,
It's
my
like.
mom just brought my dog
Okay.
downstairs. Like, hold on 1 second. I'm just gonna wait for her to leave and then we can. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. Interlude. We
Yeah.
can all collect ourselves.
I know, right?
Okay.
So then the interviewer asked what the cast thought the takeaway of season 5 was going to be for the fan base. And Bradley said, hopefully, some sort of satisfaction. But Angel was a little bit more cryptic and said, I think it'll be sad. And then somebody else said, because it's ending. And then she said,
Yeah.
and other reasons. And I'm like, well, that's
Well, I
cryptic.
was just
Thanks,
gonna say,
Angel.
when that video aired, like the thing that I picked up on from the interview, which really that got my heart sinking, was that Angel was like, "Oh, I think it's gonna be sad." And then Bradley James turns to her and he's like, "Because it's ending." And he was like, his eyes were like, "Right, like don't give it away." And I was like,
Oh, yeah.
"No, Bradley."
Bradley James.
But it's just that just means like that just tells me that it's not because it's ending that it'll be sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, okay, interestingly enough, Alexander Vlahos actually commented on the end as well, so we're going to get to that right now.
Was so cute. I love it.
I know. He actually had, this is a really great interview that he did with BBC Radio Times, and we're just going to go over some of the quotes from that. Of course, you can find the actual video for this on hypeable.com in the Merlin archive, so definitely check that out because he's just cute as a button and the video is super adorable. He talked about the finale overall. He said, it's a brilliant ending. Hope the fans will be happy because you never want to leave them with a sour taste in their mouths, but I'm sure they will be. Again, gets all of our hopes up, so I guess we'll see. But then he said there are a lot of deaths. Not everyone's character ends happily. To see it go out on Christmas Eve hopefully won't ruin people's
I
Christmases.
know. It's like, oh
Oh.
God. And his face was
Which
like, but it probably will.
I know. It's like this is like the one thing that we've been dreading. Like I feel like the BBC picked the worst day ever to end the series.
Oh my God, I know. Can we just like not to spend time on this, but we had the finale on the 29th, and then they
Yeah, we
decided to
did.
move it to
Yeah.
Christmas. And I think that's so mean. Like, I still think that's the meanest thing out of
I
all of this.
completely. It really is. Like, not only does it take away a week of us like
Right.
getting used to it and throw it in really quickly, so it ends even quicker than we thought, but it's right before
It
Christmas.
is right before Christmas, and the poor children.
No,
And
well,
us.
for us.
Yeah.
I mean, for purely selfish reasons too, from a podcasting standpoint, does not give us enough time to turn
That's
around an
true,
episode.
right? I
And
know.
I'm
like,
think of the
think of the fan base. Think of House of
podcasters.
Camelot. How are we supposed to work with this?
Well, there's too many time zones and holiday feasts.
Oh, that too. It's like, and then it's like, when are we going to find a time to watch it? Because let's not forget, some people actually celebrate on Christmas Eve, aka
I
Selena
know.
and
I'm
I,
not gonna watch it on
aka me
Christmas
too.
Eve. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Patricia too. See? So
Like,
it's
we're
just
gonna
like,
take a break from like getting presents. Like, hold on 1 second, just gotta go watch this. And you come back in the
oh
room, you're
yeah.
like sobbing, like, give me a present. Like,
Right?
no.
Pretty
Like,
much. Also,
I don't
not to
even know when
mention.
I'm gonna watch it. Like,
No,
when
me
am I gonna
neither.
be able to watch it? I don't
Not
know.
to mention the fact that we will all have to stay away from all social media sites if we don't
Yeah.
want to get spoiled. Like, that's really hard. So I don't know about that,
Well,
BBC. I guess.
I'm actually watching it when it airs, so
Oh,
I
are
guess I'm the
you?
truer
Good for
fan here.
you, TJ.
Yes. I was able to make the time for Merlin.
Aw, but you'll be
That's
so
nice.
sad though.
I know.
Yes.
Don't talk to me till t
All
like the next day.
right.
And I say that with all the love in the world. Going back to the Vlahos interview, he also commented on Merlin and Arthur's relationship in a quote that just was like the quote heard around the world. It was like the shot heard around the world, but for Merthyr fans. He had this to say. He said, it becomes a love story between two men. In a sort of platonic sense, it becomes a brilliant love story between Merlin and Arthur, and it's told in the right possible way, and I think fans should be happy. I would be happy if I saw it. And this just kind of warmed my heart because, as you all know, all I want is just one final brilliant display of bromance, and I can
When
just be
it's
happy.
Merlin. Sorry. But
Yes,
yes.
we're gonna get to that with
Merlin.
Cassie.
But I just, I loved
20
his.
something Merlin.
Yeah.
Let's be very specific.
But I loved his description of their relationship because that's the description I have been looking for. Like, I couldn't find a way to say it, but a platonic love story. That's what it is, and that's, I think, what the fans see it as. Like, I know there's some people who see it as, like, a romantic love story, and there's some people who see it as a friendship, but neither of those definitions I've never found quite right, but this is right. You know, it is a love story, but it's a platonic love story, and it's amazing. But that's, yeah, I love it. He hit it right on the head, and he's an actor in the show. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know how much you love Alexander Vlahos.
Oh, yeah, that too. It's like anything he says is gospel to me, so.
I'm a bicycle build.
But then you came and ruined it, Jess. In my dream.
Sorry. I know. I'm trying to make up for it, Selena. I'm so sorry. I ruined your bicycle ride with Margaret.
All right, our final news story for today is just a recap of our brilliant month of Merlin on Hypeable.com. For those of you guys who don't know, we've been celebrating Merlin all month long, just as our way to just pay tribute to a series that we love so much. We've got a lot of great content that has gone that has come up on the site since we last spoke to you. We've got a story on where to get your actor fix for the Merlin actors after the series ends. We've got a brilliant fanfic rec list. We've got a ridiculous top 5 sexiest men of Merlin.
That's not ridiculous. Post. That's cute.
Well, ridiculous because trick question, they're all sexy and hot. So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt like writing a top 5 sexiest women of Merlin post.
Someone should do that.
You know, TJ, we take fan submitted pieces, so if you want to get on that, you go for it.
I should.
Gwenna Magana. And then Ooh, Isolde is there.
Yeah. There's Nimue. There's more ghosts.
Nimue.
Oh, Mithian.
I think Laura Donnelly is beautiful. And then you got all the princesses.
Yeah, I would put Mithian on that list.
Yeah, you got Elena, Mithian, what's the one with the Vivian?
Vivian.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think you should work on it.
Queen Alice.
I will start working on it tonight.
Yay! We've also got a wonderful fan submitted piece on the evolution of Merlin's character, and we've got a very special tribute to Merlin coming up tomorrow. We're not going to tell you what it is, but you'll probably see that before you listen to this episode, even though we're going to try our hardest to get it up. And then finally, we do want to remind you that we are hosting a competition with Merlin Game. If you've wanted to be part of Merlin Game and actually contribute to the content on there, this is your chance to do it. We've teamed up with people at Bossa Studios to create this contest. Pretty much all you have to do is write in with a dialogue scene that you would want to see between two characters in the game. And if we pick your submission, your dialogue will be included in the game, and the top 5 winners are also going to receive a t-shirt from Merlin Game. It's a really cool competition. We're really excited to be co-hosting it, so get those creative thinking caps on, submit your dialogue, and you never know, you might win. The deadline is December 31st, New Year's Eve, so you have a couple more days to work on that, and we can't wait to read your submissions. So that's it for the news this week. I'm going to hand it over to Jess, and she's going to lead us through our episode recap for the first part of Diamond of the Day.
Alrighty. So this was episode 512, Diamond of the Day, part 1, and there was lots that happened, lots to discuss. So it opens up with Morgana. She has a sorcerer who's brought to her, who she makes like prove that he's a sorcerer by using magic in front of her. And then she pulls out this box and opens it, and he's obviously, like, he knows what's in there. And this, like, gross, disgusting, magical leech creature comes out and attacks his face and sucks all the magic out of him. And he is unable to use magic at all. And that is when she says the line that we heard last week in the trailer that, you know, Arthur is nothing without Emrys and Emrys is nothing without magic. So we realize that that is what she is going to use against Merlin. What were your guys' initial reactions when you saw this and you realized that, oh, hey, look, it is possible to get rid of somebody's magic?
Well, at first I thought she was, like, leashing the snake thing. And I was like, what is she doing? And then I realized that it wasn't that. It was some weird leech thing. And it was kind of creepy. And, like, also, Mordred's face, like, he looked kind of iffy on it. Like, why'd you do that? It, like, I don't know. So it does kind of feel like he still has some sort of a heart, but that was interesting.
Well, I think Marge is just getting nervous that she might turn on him too.
True.
Yeah, that thing was disgusting. Like,
it was kind of like anticlimactic a little bit. Like, I don't know. It's just, it was kind of a lame, like, considering this is the finale, I thought that was kind of a lame way to take his magic away. Like, in the next scene, you know, we'll be talking about it. But I just couldn't help but think this is like Merlin versus Sloth. You know, it's like, what even? That was
right.
Weird.
Well, and you know, last week when we were discussing the trailer for this week's episode, and we were coming up with all of our insane theories about how to get rid of Merlin's magic and whether or not it was even possible, and then it's just this like gross magic leech. Like, yeah, it was bizarre.
And the design of it reminded me of Alien, the movie, when they have that thing pop out of the egg and suck onto his face.
Oh yeah.
So I took it as like Alien and Merlin merging together.
Merlion.
Instead of Sloth.
Yeah, well, they have delved into the aliens this season. So we go to Camelot, and Morgana's plan goes into action pretty quickly. We get this hilarious scene of Merlin and Arthur playing a dice game, gambling their money, and every time Merlin blows on the dice, he uses his magic to make it roll the way that he wants to. And Arthur's just so mad, and Merlin is loving it because he's getting all his money. And while they're doing this, somebody sneaks into his and Gaius's room and knocks Gaius out. And when Merlin goes back to his room and kind of collapses on the bed, so looks like maybe for the first time he actually was in the tavern and did get a little inebriated.
I love that callback.
I know. I was like, finally, Merlin was actually in the tavern.
He was finally doing what he gets accused of, but Arthur was with him, so he can't get in trouble.
Apparently it makes it okay.
So he collapses on the bed, and we see the box, and the creepy leech creeps onto the bed and gets on him, and he uses his magic to like blast it away, and then Gaius comes in and stabs it, and it's all gross.
That was cool. A little, like, power moment for Gaius.
Yeah.
Gaius versus Sloth.
Nice. Hey, that's why it was a Sloth, Selena, because it needed to be at Gaius' speed.
Aww.
Well, he doesn't have Merlin's magic.
Low blow.
I know. I'm like,
what? I'm tired and I'm hopped up on medicine.
It's okay.
So forgive me.
Well, we don't. And, the rest of us don't have any excuse. So.
And I'm grumpy because of the ending, and it pissed me off. But anyway,
we'll get there.
Guys had a whole like blood gushing from his head from the rock being hit on him. So he was moving pretty fast.
So Merlin passes out, and when he comes to, he tries to pull something to him by magic, and it's not working. And he's like, crap, my magic is gone, so that's not good. Did you guys, like, were you surprised that Merlin's magic didn't work? Because the sloth thingy wasn't on his face very long, and he knocked it away with magic. So, like, I thought, okay, well, maybe his magic will be weakened but not gone completely. But then when he couldn't even, like, do that simple spell, I was like, oh, I guess it did work. Were you all surprised, or were you like, okay, yeah?
I think I was like, in my, like, deep down, I knew that it was going to – he was going to lose his magic. But I was still kind of, you know, blissfully hoping that it wasn't going to happen. So
yeah.
As soon as I realized that he – couldn't do it, I was just like, no, no, no. And then I started freaking out because I was like, if they take away his magic for the rest of like the 2.5 episodes we have left, that is going to be the biggest loophole way of getting around having to have a magic reveal ever. So yeah.
Yeah, sure I was scared because they did it too. So quickly. Mm-hmm.
And so I started getting worried, like, well, what if this is it? And then, like, there's no need for a magic reveal, so let's check that off the things that need to be resolved before the end. Like,
yeah, so
that
definitely
would be so
scary.
Weird. So lame.
I know, right?
Yeah, it would have been.
I think every Merlin fan would be pissed off at
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
Okay, so we see Morgana with her army, and she's standing there with Mordred, and they send the army to attack a garrison that's, you know, held at an outlying area of Camelot, and she and Mordred combine and use magic to send like flaming balls of rock at this garrison. And so the knights are there. Gawain and Leon were apparently stationed there. I don't know. I thought they were always with Arthur, but I guess not. So they were there and they were fighting, and Gawain saves the life of a young woman who is Era, who we mentioned last week was going to be on. And then she in turn saves his life. And so the battle's not going well, and the knights are forced to retreat back to Camelot. And this just kind of setting up for later, not much to talk about here. So we see a council at the round table with Arthur and Gwen sitting side by side and all the knights. And they are trying to figure out what to do about Morgana's giant army and the best course of action. Most of the knights feel that they should stay in Camelot and take a stand against her from within the walls of Camelot, force her to hold siege against them. But Arthur doesn't like that idea because then it leaves the rest of the kingdom vulnerable, and he wants to protect his people. So he decides that they should march out and meet her head on in battle.
That's what Theoden said in Lord of the Rings. And look what happened.
Aww.
Did no one else notice that? No, just me.
There were so many moments in this episode where I was just making fandom connections.
Yeah.
And it was just there was Harry Potter. I'm sure there was Lion King in there at one point.
there was Lion King in there.
There was just so many fandom connections. It was
total
nice.
Side note, but I just saw The Hobbit today, and I totally, in my head, started singing The Circle of Life in this one part where they're standing on a rock that looks exactly like Pride Rock. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Completely off the wall, off topic. So Arthur is, of course, being the brave, chivalrous king that he is, and so that is kind of what he wants to do. So we then get this scene that I did not see coming, like total jaw dropper for me, of a Thusa breathing fire on a sword. And as soon as I saw what was happening, I was like, no, shut up.
You're like, what, Thusa? No.
Start speaking in dragon.
I kind of almost did.
Dragon.
And so Morgana hands the blade over to Mordred. So, I mean, what did you see this coming, or were you like me, just like, what?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming, but I guess it makes sense. Like, why wouldn't she make a sword forged in dragon's breath? And now it makes more sense if Mordred's destined to kill Arthur. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but if he is destined to kill Arthur, what better way than to have like a sword that obviously can do the job? That like matches with Excalibur.
Right.
Somewhat crackpot theory here, but what if like the sword that Mordred has ends up killing himself with the sword somehow? Like,
are you saying like what if it's like Harry Potter wands and some don't wield? Yes.
I mean, I was thinking of like Pirates of the Caribbean where the sword Mordred has ends up like, stabbing himself.
Well, one thing that I thought about this, because there's been different versions of the legend that I've read where Arthur, like in one, Arthur had a special scabbard made for Excalibur, and magic was woven into the scabbard that kept him from spilling so much blood that he would die. Like, he still got injured on the battlefield, but it kept him from dying. And so, in my head, I mean, I know that Arthur doesn't have that, but I was like, oh, well, this sword would defeat the magic protection laid by that anyway. So I feel like the sword with any protection that Merlin could come up with, if he got his magic back, could be defeated by this sword.
No.
I don't know. We'll see.
I refuse.
But yeah, that's kind of where my head went with it, but.
Well, I thought there was like a quote that I saw for the last episode where it said something about that, where it was like, it sounded like Mordred saying something to Arthur about this sword was forged in a dragon's breath, so you can't slay me, or something like that.
Okay, so back in Camelot, Arthur makes plans for the last stand of Thermopylae, or Camland, like that's all I could think about this whole thing. I was like, oh, we're Spartacus and or Spart the Spart whatever. God, I can't.
The Sparts. We are Sparts.
Spartacus.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Medicine. You guys.
I apologize, everybody. So anyway, the last day of the 300, like that's all I could think about, even with like the little trail that they like the mountain pass or whatever. But anyway,
and there's a later reference to 300 I want to talk about that pissed me off.
Oh, okay. So they make the plans for where they're going to meet Morgana, and it is in Camlann, as we all knew was going to be happening. And Merlin you know, knows that an order to protect Arthur, he has to regain his magic. Oh, and this will be a good time to bring up that scene where Gaius was, you know, treating all of the people who were coming in wounded from the battle, and Merlin just looked so lost standing there. Like, he looked so pitiful. Like, he just had no idea what to do without his magic, and it broke my heart.
There's another scene that I'm sure we're going to get to where I kind of felt the same thing, but, I mean, the entire time when I was watching this episode, all I could think about was the first episode of the entire series when I think it was like, it's like Gaius telling him that he should just not use his magic, and Merlin says something like, if I can't use magic, then what have I got? I'm just a nobody. And then he says, if I can't use magic, I might as well die. And it's just so funny because it's like, it's kind of throwing it back to that, because in series one, it was very much a hypothetical. Like, you would never think of Merlin losing his magic. But then now that we're here at the end, you kind of see the ramifications of what does happen when he doesn't have it. It's just so heart-wrenching. I mean, he really
is.
It's a part of him. And it's like he's gotten half of his being sucked out.
Yeah, it was so sad. But so he decides that he has to get his magic back, and the best way that he can think of to do that is to return to the Crystal Cave, which is where magic was birthed. He tells Arthur that he won't be going with him to Camlann, and he says that it's because he has some errands, some urgent errands to run for Gaius to get some vital supplies or some, you know, it's a total BS excuse, and Arthur sees through that. But then Arthur says to Merlin that all the jokes about him being a coward, he never really meant them, that Merlin is the bravest man he's ever met, but he guesses that he was wrong. And I was just like, I literally threw my head back and screamed.
Oh, I started crying.
I know.
This was the part where I started sobbing. You guys don't even know. Like, I was just like, this is horrible because it's like a backhanded compliment, and Arthur doesn't even know that the only reason Merlin's leaving is not because he wants to, but because he's trying to save him. It was just, oh my God.
No, Merlin's better than that by now.
I know. Well, you could tell it tore Merlin apart, too.
I know.
I think that even though only Gaius and Merlin know what is to come at Camlann, everybody feels that this could be the end. And I think Arthur was partly saying all of this because he was just so disappointed that Merlin wasn't going to be with him. You know, he read this as, this is the place where we're probably all going to die, and Merlin would rather be somewhere else than by my side. And I think that's what caused him to say that. But I think, I also think it's so telling that Arthur would call out Merlin's bravery. You know, he didn't say you're the most loyal servant, or he didn't say you're my best friend. He said you're the bravest man. And I think for someone like Arthur, bravery is pretty much the ultimate. Like, that is what makes, that's what defines you as a person, is how brave you are. And so for him to say that Merlin, of all people, was the bravest man he's ever met, I think that more than anything else he could have said shows how high regard he held or holds Merlin in, and how important, you know, he actually thinks of him. He is.
And it was just like, the thing is too, is like all those times that he's faced everything with him. I mean, like even in season two when, you know, they're going to face Kilgara and Arthur still can't believe it, and he goes, are you really going to face this dragon with me? And Merlin's like, well, I'm not going to sit here and watch. And it's like, he's finally gotten to a point where he's like, Merlin, is always going to be there. He's going to be at my side, fighting with me. And then this is like the one time that he's not. And it's just, it was just so heartbreaking. It was such a heartbreaking moment for both characters because you can finally see how much they care for each other. And it was just, it was done in such a heartbreaking way. It was just, it was horrible.
It really was. So we see Aira, the girl who was had a little liaison with Gawain, and she goes to the woods and meets up with Morgana and Mordred. And she tells them that Arthur's riding out to meet them, like, as they speak. And she's walking, like, they pay her, and she's walking away, and then turns around and is like, oh, and the knight, talking about Gawain, is taking Merlin to the Valley of Fallen Kings. And
how
so,
lame was that? How lame was she?
Seriously.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm sorry. And that so was ridiculous.
It really was. And as she leaves, Morgana's like, why would they go there? And so they, you know, riddle it out. And Mordred figures out, you know, that's where the Crystal Cave is. And Morgana realizes that he's going to get his power back. So we see Merlin and Gawain on their journey to the valley. And they get attacked by some Saxons. And again, another heartbreaking scene where Merlin is just so helpless and so powerless. And he's on the ground. And one of the Saxons is coming at him. And where normally he would just use magic to zap the weapon away or blow the guy back, he can't. And he just calls out in the most, I mean, like, break your heart scream for Gawain.
This was the part that got me, too. And it's just
it
like,
was, oh my gosh.
Colin Morgan, all the awards, you guys. Like,
seriously. And Gawain, of course, is just like, no biggie. I got your back.
But I mean, like, at the same time, I mean, it's like, that's probably the first time he's ever heard Merlin sound so helpless. Like, when have you ever heard Merlin scream?
Ever.
With such, I mean, like, it was desperation, helplessness. Like, it was insane. And it's just like, oh, it's so horrible. Like, I hate it when they do horrible things to favorite characters.
It made me scared for a second because I thought he was going to get hit.
And then, like, Gawain comes in all badass, like, huh, kills that guy, and then just kind of, like, casually, like, thrusts his sword back and, like, oh, there's another guy.
Yeah, Gawain is, he's awesome.
What did you think, though, about the fact, like, A, the fact that we got so much Gawain this week? I still say it's because he's dying. But, and also the, just the fact that they needed to throw in this love interest for him, because I can't help, you know, we talk a lot about the fandom on this show, and we talk a lot about Murther, but I feel like the other ship, like, fan ship that's almost as popular as Murther is Merlin Gawain. And I was watching this and I was just thinking, poor slash shippers in this fandom, like, they can't even just have this one, you know? Like, I don't know, I just feel like for this long, you know, if people have been like, oh, you know, Merlin Gawain, there's something going on, like, whatever, and Merlin, and then they just had to take it away, and I was like, oh, well, of course.
Well, and one thing that I thought was really interesting about this particular plot line, that I'm glad it wasn't like a thing, it was just a quick plot device, but that they showed them in bed and like Gawain putting his shirt mm-hmm. on as opposed to just like being all lovey-dovey. And then when they were walking in the woods and they were talking about her and Gawain says, I couldn't just leave her to the Saxons, could I? I had to listen to that line about 5 times because I could have sworn he said the sex wasn't even that great. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, Jess.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I thought he was saying. I was like,
wow.
I turned it up so loud and kept listening. And I was like, no, what is he saying?
Obviously, you have a selective hearing and wishful thinking.
Well, they didn't, or see medicine.
But they didn't take it that far, but I still think it's interesting that they kind of insinuated more for Merlin and this random girl that they ever have for, like, almost ever have for even Arthur and Gwen. You know, it seemed a bit out of place.
Exactly.
Like, this is the kind of scene we should have had with Arthur and Gwen.
Right, like, he didn't even have his shirt off in the bed with Guinevere.
No, I know, what is that? Right, Jess.
Maybe it gets cold in Camelot, you guys. You don't know.
Anyway,
but yeah, anyway, moving on, not that important. So okay, so they reach the cave and they have a really sweet bro Mantiful to pull something from the Game of Owns podcast. A bro Mantiful goodbye. And you know, wish each other luck with the tasks that they have ahead of them. And so when Merlin goes into the cave, Morgana is of course there waiting for him, and she's doing this weird like shifting thing where her voice is going all around the place and Merlin can't find her. And I loved the dialogue between them in this scene because, you know, she's totally taunting him and like, haha, you have no power, you can do nothing. He's like, then why won't you face me? Like, if I'm so powerless in this weak way, why won't you just come out and face me? And it's the truth. And so Morgana does finally reveal herself. But even when she does, she's like so far away from him and he slashes at her. But I'm not even really sure if he hit her or if she was just like making him think that he did because she did her crazy evil laugh thing. And then she says a spell and causes the cave, the entrance to be filled with rocks for the, from the cave so he can't get out. And so then, you know, he comes to after the rock shift and tries to move the rocks on with his hands without magic and can't. And then he lets out that scream that we saw in the trailer last week. So what did you guys think about Morgana's little ambush on Merlin?
Well, at first I was like, she's really dumb. Like, why is she locking him in the crystal cave, the place that he's going to get his magic back in? I was like, clearly.
She doesn't, Morgana doesn't know, you guys. Or it's just very convenient for Merlin.
Yeah. That is true. I didn't even think about that, Patricia.
Obviously, Mordred didn't really know very much about where the crystal cave was.
Neither one of them do, apparently. Merlin somehow knows way more than either
maybe,
of them.
Maybe the crystal cave is like the room of requirement, and it just...
appears when you need it.
It appears when you need it.
Oh my god, I think that's a good theory.
That is true, because like he was laying there around the rock, and you don't see any crystals, and the next thing you know, there's like crystals right above him or something. You're like...
I mean, like, in the, what is it, the Mark of Gedreth, when that's the first time we see the crystal cave, isn't it?
Is it?
Or, well, I might not have the episode title left. I think I might be confusing that with the unicorn episode. But anyway.
Yeah, that's the unicorn episode.
The first time we see the crystal cave, it's not in the Valley of the Fallen Kings, is it? Because I don't think Arthur and Merlin are there.
They have like, been there
before. He happens upon it. Yes, but I don't think it was to go to the crystal cave. I don't know. Like, again, like, my crackpot theory is going to be the crystal cave is the room of requirement.
I like it. I like that theory.
I had one more thing to say about Morgana and the cave sequence. Again, she just doesn't kill Merlin outright, and it bothers me that she doesn't. Because even in the beginning of this episode, she was saying how, like, if she wanted to kill someone, she would just stab a dagger in them and, like, be done with it.
I know.
And she just makes the rocks fall, taunts him for a little while, and then makes the rocks fall. It's like, you had him right there. He was totally helpless.
I know.
And we've talked about this before, like, even before she knew he was Emrys, but she knew that he was always in her way, and she would poison him or do this, that, or the other instead of just killing him. And she even says this time, this is the last time you will get in the way of my plans, so I'm going to trap you.
I know. Like, there's no way out, maybe.
It is very weird that she doesn't ever just kill him.
I think she has a crutch on him.
That's good for us.
I think so, too.
But
the redeeming factor in Morgana.
Morgana is the other OTP.
Morgana, I know. Yes. I know. Morgana. It's very underappreciated on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so back at the Knights camp, or wherever they are, Arthur goes up to Gaius and kind of starts questioning him about Merlin's excuse for being away. And it's very clear that he's fishing to try to figure out what's really going on and doesn't buy it for a second. But he just walks off and Gwen is sitting.
It was like the Arthur is moping over Merlin scene of the episode.
And Gwen is sitting right there and she is like, I don't think he believes you. And honestly, neither do I. But then what I loved about Gwen is she actually is smart and is like, I know how loyal Merlin is to Arthur and he wouldn't leave right now unless it was really important and something that he couldn't talk about. And Gaius is pretty much like, yup, She's like, okay, well, hopefully he succeeds in his missions. I'm like, Arthur, really?
I thought she
Do you, like, not put two and two together, or are you just pouting?
Oblivious.
No, you know what? Yeah. That brings up a very good point. I thought she knew, too. Like, for a split second, I thought that she
I thought
she
we were going to get this, like, really cash, you know, cash, what's it called? Like, a magic reveal, just, like, on the fly. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, I already know. And I was like, oh, my God. But then, no.
I actually did think that for a second, too, but it did not happen.
I also thought that Merlin was going to tell Gawain.
I know, I thought that, too.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I was like, look how much he loves you in a bromance way. Like, his like eyes were welling up with tears when he said, look after yourself, Merlin, and you can't tell him why you're leaving.
They they must just not want anyone, because the only person who knew ever, like, aside from random guest characters, was Lancelot, right? So they must not just want nobody to know before Arthur.
Right. Well, and then Lancelot only found out on a whim. Like,
well,
he,
that's true.
Wasn't like,
but then he didn't Merlin know, so Merlin could like, talk to him about it. Now, I always thought it was weird that they didn't have Gawain or Gwen take over that for him, so he really only had guys to talk to about it. But they must be doing that deliberately.
Right. No, definitely. I totally agree.
So, yeah. I thought the same thing, too. Okay, so back in the cave with Merlin, he wakes up and the crystals are all over him and they're all glowing, and he looks over and first he hears the voice and then he sees the form, the image of his father. And we get this beautiful scene between the two of them where Balinor is telling Merlin, you know, not to give up. And he tells him that as long as he fights Morgana, she cannot be victorious. And Merlin, of course, is like, but I don't have magic. What can I do? And Balinor tells him that he's not just a son of his father. He's a son of the earth and the water and the air, and that, you know, magic is a part of those things, and magic is a part of him. And magic cannot be taken from him because it is a part of who he is. And this is kind of what we talked about last week when we were talking about the possibility of Merlin losing his magic. And so he just basically says, like you still have magic. You just have to believe it and remember it. And I was like, yay. And it was just such a sweet scene. And I loved every second of it. What about you guys?
If you want another fandom, cross-fandom reference, I'll give you one.
Simba. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, my favorite movie of all time is The Wizard of Oz. And this just kind of totally reminded me of when Dorothy's like, I really want to go back. And then Glinda's like, well, you've always had the power to go back to Kansas. Like, well, okay. Like, now Merlin, like, Balinor's like, Merlin, you've always had the magic. Like, it's never truly left you.
For some reason in this scene, that was when I knew what was going to happen. Like, because I knew that Balinor was coming back. This was the spoiler that we talked about last week. But not until he appeared and he said that thing about you're the son of magic, I had this thought in my head and I was like, no, no, they wouldn't. And I was like, no. And then in my head I was like, but they would. But no. And then like through the episode I just got more and more. Yeah, yeah. For some reason like I saw it and he was like, it's going to come out of the cave with magic. But there has to be because I was thinking like, there has to be a reason for him to go to the cave. Other than just getting his magic back, because then it would be random. Like, it would just be him
just
losing
don't
his
understand.
Magic.
Huh? I don't know. I just, like, and I'm sure we're going to get this later. I just don't understand why getting his magic back would result in what resulted.
I know. We'll get to that. But, like, it was just going to say at this very moment that that's when it hit me, and all through the rest of the episode, like, in my brain, which is I'd like, you know, you can imagine me, like, just darting my eyes from side to side, just going, like, no, they wouldn't. No, no. No. And then they did.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah, we're going to get to that in just a second. So
one more thing. Well, do you think, like, with that description of magic being part of, like, the earth and the water and the air, that it could be argued then later in the last episode that everyone has magic? And, like, that could be, like, a point that Merlin could bring up if Arthur is doubtful about
Maybe. Magic is in everything. He could say that. And, like, you were made from magic, too, like, in your face. I don't know if
he actually, it's so funny because, like, in the beginning of the series, he does kind of say that because, you know, it's that scene where it's just him and Arthur in the woods and Merlin's like, oh, there's magic here. Like, everything's so full of life. Can't you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
And I think if the other characters, like, felt hard enough or tried to get in that zone, like, they probably would. Because we've always been told that magic is taught, Merlin is pretty much the only case we have that we know of where magic has been born,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, like, in the sense of, like, the druids, they're just more in touch with nature because they're brought up to learn to feel it that way. And it could just be, like, a suppressed thing for people that don't practice magic not to feel just the very energy of it in the world around them.
After this is over, we should try.
Oh, she's trying to match magic?
Yeah.
Shrooms.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So back at camp, Arthur is, of course, doubting his decision, as he always does, and Gwen stands by him and tells him how awesome he is and how she's never doubted him. And so they're like, we should go to bed. And he picks her up and takes her to bed. And it does like this weird fade out transition that they don't typically do on Merlin.
It was weird. I noticed that too.
I was like, what are you implying? So we then see Morgana and Mordred making their final plans where they discuss the hidden path that will allow them to flank Arthur from behind to keep him from being able to outflank them. They like to use the word flank this episode. So they get ready for their attack. And then it goes back to the cave, and Merlin wakes up, and he holds his hands together and says a spell and releases a butterfly, and he's so happy because he realizes he really does have his magic. And he goes and he looks in the crystals and he sees flashes of what's happening in the future. And he sees Morgana and he finds out what her plan is. And then he starts looking for Arthur and he says, where's Arthur? And then it shows Arthur and Gwen lying in bed together asleep. And he talks to Arthur through the crystal and warns him of what's happening.
And we see
flashbacks of season one. Yeah, that was, I loved that.
He's in Chalice.
Yes.
You saw a lot of stuff. Yeah, we saw the Poison Chalice was the big one. We saw more the Nimue episode. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there. Maybe that's what they meant by throwing it back too. Like, just like commemorating the seasons past.
Probably.
Yeah, it was great. And but I loved this part where he is talking to Arthur and he's like, says to him, I'm sorry I can't be with you, but I'm doing important work and, you know, all this great stuff. And he's like, you know, warns him of the plan. He's like, you have to do this or else she will have won. And Arthur immediately wakes up and it's like he knows that whatever he heard wasn't a dream, that it was real. And he like doesn't even question it. He just gets up and takes action and is like, boom, this is what needs to happen. And I was like, oh, thank you, Arthur. Thank you for showing, yes, I do have faith and trust in Merlin, and I know that he's awesome.
Although, if this was supposed to be, I mean, I don't think it is, obviously, but if at the time, I was like, oh, so this is when Arthur finds out he has magic? And I was prepared to be so upset, because I was like, but he's not even in the room, you know? But I don't know, I don't think he, like, I don't even know. Do you guys say, is there any way he can't know? Like, seriously?
Well, if they keep him as oblivious Arthur, he won't. But
Merlin spoke to him in his head, and he went straight out, and he was like, "This is what's going on, guys." So he must believe that it was real.
I mean, I think that this is my whole theory. I really think that Arthur has all the pieces of the puzzle, but his brain does not want to put them together in the way they're supposed to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so much easier for him to be like, oh, it's just Merlin. It's just my manservant Merlin, you know?
I can accept that.
Yeah, and so I just think, like, all the pieces are there, and it's going to click when Merlin finally tells him. And instead of just being like, I had no idea, it's going to most likely be like, I think I've always sort of known. I've just never admitted it to myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I could see it happening like that.
And maybe he just, like, really, in this scene, maybe he just really thinks that Merlin is like his Jiminy Cricket or something, you know, like he's just is like his voice of reason in his head. Well, yeah, it actually fits now that I said it, but you know, he is kind of his voice of reason in his head. So he's like, oh, my subconscious is telling me this through Merlin because it's Merlin.
Except then why would his subconscious apologize to him and say, maybe one day you'll understand
because,
why?
I don't know, because he feels the need to. I don't know, because he's hurt.
But he did say that it was, like, real, didn't he, to Gwen?
That's true.
He was like, no, it's really him or whatever. But, I mean, I was really happy, though, that Merlin got to kind of apologize and be like, you know, maybe one day you'll understand why I had to do this, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there or something.
Okay, but see, this kind of makes me nervous, too, because I'm like, is this all we're going to get? Like, is that it? Are they never going to interact again?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
They, when you
it's
say they.
Melodramatic. Well, okay.
Yeah.
depends on what your definition of Merlin is now.
Well, let's hurry up and we'll get there. We'll get there. We're almost there. Just hang with me.
I have expected Arthur to lean over to Gwen and be like, do you ever get the voice inside your head that sounds like Merlin that tells you these things? Like, honestly.
It's going to be, it's what would Merlin do?
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like that part in Harry Potter where he says that he hears Hermione's voice inside his head. He's like, why is she here?
Are you there, Merlin?
Merlin?
Okay. So Arthur, huh?
And how Merlin is the only one that's able to get Arthur out of bed with Gwen. He just pulls right by Gwen, runs off. Merlin's calling me.
I like that you said it.
I know, wasn't I?
Okay, so Arthur goes to his knights and they get prepared to face Morgana's army, and he, you know, gives the typical, like, before battle speech to pump everybody up, and so they get ready for the battle, and while they're doing that, Merlin is watching kind of what's going on through the crystals, and then Balinor's there again, and they have another conversation, and he tells him that, you know, he's yet to reach all of the power that he has within him. Like, he hasn't tapped into it all yet. But that if he follows the light in the cave...
No, don't do it! Don't follow the light!
I know, it always ends badly. Didn't you watch Lost?
Yes, exactly! Oh, God!
Was I the only one that was like, okay, the father-son scene is really touching, but we don't have time. We don't have time. Just go. Like, that was my whole thing. Like, I just, like, they dragged it on forever. And I'm like, no, he needs to go find Arthur, like, 5 minutes ago. Like, this is really nice, but just, there's no time. Just go.
So Balinor tells him that if he follows the light, he will find his true self and his destiny. And I was just like, oh, crap.
I know, right? And... Me too. I was like, I just thought when he looked into the crystal and he was still young, I was like, oh, I was wrong. It's fine. And then Balinor came back and I was like, nope.
I was still, like, blissfully denying the fact that they would actually do that. I'm like, they wouldn't do that. They would not do that. They wouldn't do that.
So let's get through this really quick and then we can... share all of our feelings. Okay, so Merlin tells Balinor goodbye, and Balinor said something that I thought was kind of interesting. He was like, there is no goodbye, for I will always be as you will always be. And I was like, oh, that was kind of a weird quote that I guess was deep. I don't know. I didn't really get it, but we can talk about that a second too. And so the two armies finally collide, and the fighting, epic slow-mo sword fighting begins.
Yeah. And that's where I had a problem. That reminded me of 300. The movie.
Oh yeah,
because it was like that profile tracking shot that just went with Arthur, and I felt like it was really poorly done. Like, I just did not enjoy it.
I feel totally like they've overdone that on Merlin, that effect with the slow-mo.
Yeah, well, it's been used a lot, and it gets used in a lot of these fantasy sci-fi TV shows. But anyway, and so then we go back to the cave and we have an outside shot and then the stones burst away and out comes Dragoon.
I love how you said that. It was perfect, Jess. It was perfect. Out comes Dragoon.
With staff in hand, and everybody's just like, ugh. Why?
Well, you know, he's gotten a lot faster, so maybe it was just you know what? Maybe it's one of those things where, like, you see your true self for, like, a second, like a flash of your true self, and then
you've seen the promo, right?
Yeah, I have. Okay, don't rub it in.
Well, and I think part of why he was so slow is because he was using an actual aging potion to, like, that was having all these weird effects on his body. But if this is just him in his quote unquote true form now, God, I hope
do,
it's not.
Do you guys think the next episode, do you think it'll open with with John Hurt's voice going, "The destiny of a great kingdom rests on the shoulders of an old man"?
Oh my God.
That would be so good.
Oh, God.
No, see, that's the thing. It's not. And that's like, I wonder if the writers, like, when they did this, they thought that at the end of the episode, he was going to burst out and the fandom would go, yes! Because that's not what happened.
Definitely not.
God, I will swear right now. It's like, who the hell would go, yes, old Merlin? Because, you know, we were so attached to old Merlin. Like,
I know. like, I get in canon, he's old, but this isn't the canon that they've set up in the show. And, like, they basically shown us that they can thumb their nose at the legend and make their own legend. And we're all okay with that. We've embraced it. And it's part of what we love about the show. And so then for them to do this, we're all like, but no. Mm-hmm. And, like, Arthur, okay, so what? He's going to show up and Arthur's going to be like, you killed my father.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, it's me, Merlin. I have magic. I'm a sorcerer.
All right, you guys, it could have been worse. I mean, he could have popped out as Dolma.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What if he, like, popped in? Like, I have to go back into the light and try again. I got it wrong.
At least if he was Dolma, Arthur would be like, "Oh, you saved Gwen. You're cool."
Oh no! Oh my God!
Could you imagine if his true self had been that?
Oh God!
Oh my God! I'm dying!
Oh my God, I'm dying.
No, I. Oh, could they not have done that? Oh, that would have been so much better. I would have not even been that mad.
Patricia, what did you think about this? Because we're all just kind of going off at the cuff, and I, like, did you hate it as much as all of us, or did you actually like it?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't exactly like you guys. You were kind of expecting it. I wasn't expecting him to necessarily be old when he came out. I thought maybe that would happen later on, like, that he would disguise himself that way for some reason. Because, you know, in the visions and stuff, that Morgana had, like, he was old Imrys when he killed her. But,
oh, yeah, so I don't know. Coming.
I wasn't exactly, expecting him to be old, like, coming out of the cave. So I was kind of, like, disappointed, too. But hopefully, I don't know. I hope that he can, like, change back.
really hope so.
Going back to what, I mean, I don't think he will, because they were all going on about him, this being his true self, you know, not, but going back to what Pamela said for a second, you know, the thing about the legends is that, yes, in the legends, Merlin is an old man and Arthur is a boy, which was why I thought, and they might still do this, who knows, but that Gwen might have a child called Arthur, and then you'd get the age discrepancy that, or the age difference that was meant to happen. But this, in the legend, yes, he's an old man. In the show, though, he's a boy, so it doesn't make sense to age him rapidly. Like, unless they say something like, "Oh, the price of your magic is your youth," but they haven't really said that. They've just said this is your true self, and I sort of feel like in the legends he's already old. In the show, it's almost like, I mean, he would grow old eventually, you know, by himself. It's almost like poor Merlin just loses, on top of everything else, he loses his youth too, just in the span of like a second. And it makes no sense to me, because he's like, why should his appearance change when he, all of his magic, like, it doesn't make any sense. You know?
Unless they do something where, like, when he went into the light, he went into, like, some sort of time vortex where time was frozen and he actually got the learning and stuff that he would have gotten had he been raised in the old religion, and so time passed and he aged within that bubble and then came out. I don't know. I still don't like it. I'm just trying to make sense of it. Selena, I have to say, though, do you remember a long time ago you made this, like, totally off the cuff comment? You were like, Merlin's just getting so bitter. He's gonna get stuck in his aging potion and be dragooned for the rest of his life and wander around bitter and angry.
I did say that, didn't I?
Chris just saw Selena.
Wow, go me.
I mean, like, my whole thing is, like, okay, I'm sure that there is a logical, they will come up with a logical explanation for why, if he ends up having to stay that way. But from a fan perspective, I just think that it's not fair to, like, if I only have 45 more minutes of Merlin ever, I don't want to see Merlin as a character that has only been in like 10% of the series.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if I get a magic reveal, like, it's not going to be as impactful with him looking like that than it will be with him looking young.
Well, I guess the argument is that they are the same, even though the age is different. He's going to be like, but I'm still Merlin. And we're going
to
be like,
but
no.
But it felt like when they introduced Dragoon to us, like, that felt like one of those things that they were doing where they're like, hey, we know we've changed the legend, but here's just a tip of the hat, a nod to the old legend that's not true in our canon, but just a little thing to say, hey, how you doing? We're paying homage to you. And it was perfect.
Right.
But then to take it and to make it into the canon of this Merlin is just not cool.
And I really hope that his voice isn't like old Merlin voice. I don't know.
No, I hope it is, because then the promo would give us some hope.
Yeah.
Not to jump ahead, but
that's the whole thing. Like, you know what? Actually, maybe we should just move on to teaser talk, because I think everything we're going to talk about is gonna fall into that. So yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So next week's episode is episode 13, the series finale, and it's Diamond of the Day Part 2.
You sound so excited.
I know. So sad.
Well, to be fair, Patricia just came off of watching.
Yeah.
Episode 12, so she's probably like...
I mean, I am mad that they kind of moved it to Christmas Eve at the same time. I guess it's good that we can just, like, start watching it.
They knew how mad
we
would be after part one. They were like, crap.
Yeah. But, so the... episode description is pretty brief and vague, but it says, as the great battle rages on Camlann's mighty plain, Merlin faces his moment of destiny. Can he find the strength to save the man he made a king, the Camelot they fought to build, and the brotherhood they shared?
Yes, please.
So, I mean, one of my first questions was, is Merlin going to be old Imrys from here on out? Which I think we all kind of think he will be, sadly. But do you think that now that he's so powerful, like, he just came out as, like a boss, you know, out of the cave? Like,
do you think a boss? That's the episode title.
It should be. Do you think, like, now that he is that powerful, that he can be kind of, like, the key to victory?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of feel like they're setting it up. But
that's the whole point of him giving all those powers.
If we have, I can't wait to see, like, I want to see him in full power mode, you know, Banff Merlin. And
oh my God. Oh, sorry. Go on.
That's all.
Okay, oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. So, oh my God, I can't even, you know, like, the fandom connections, right? Okay. So this is completely 100% like Pokemon and Merlin evolved, you guys. It's like you're playing a game and you're like facing whatever, like, whatever monster, and then you go out of the battle and it's like, oh, your Merlin is evolving. And then he becomes Dragoon.
Someone make it upset.
I want it. Oh my God, I want it so badly. Pokemerlin. Oh,
sorry,
God.
I don't know Pokemon.
Oh, but
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, I've heard of Pokemon, but I don't know.
But then, like, they changed forms, and then you, like, really like their first form, and then they change into, like, a second one, and they're all, like, mean and big, and you're like, but it was so cute before.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, the end of the series, Merlin will be like, and that isn't even my final form. And then... Oh God, I'm sorry. I went on a completely random tangent there.
Yeah, so the trailer says, like, in the trailer he goes, I am a sorcerer, I have magic. And which obviously, like, we're all thinking is the magic reveal and hopefully saying it to Arthur.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about his voice?
Wait. Okay, and also, I think it's significant that they just showed us a black screen.
Oh, yeah.
When he was saying that, because if it was, like, maybe he really will turn young again, and when he says that he's young, because otherwise, why wouldn't they have just done, like, a close-up shot of old Emerus saying that now that he's like this? I mean, because they could have done that. They could have cropped it so that it was just a close-up of his face and not shown, like, the where, the setting, or the who he was talking to.
So what you're saying is that old Emerus is like Merlin's superhero costume. Like, that is his yes. Superman
put
suit.
Put on the beard.
Yes. And yes.
Uh-huh. No, see, I actually have a theory about this magic reveal that I already shared it on Hyperbole, and I'm like, it would make sense, and I, like, hope it's not true. But, so we know that Merlin, like, this old Emrys is supposed to be his true self, right? Like, this is him. He has found himself. He has evolved into Dragoon, because Balinor said so. But at the same time, I think we are going to get young Merlin in the finale, partly because, I think that's a general fan consensus. Because they know the fans wouldn't want him to just be old Merlin from here on out, right? So my theory is that for the magic reveal, Merlin is now old, but he can, like he took a potion to become Dragoon, he can now take a potion to make himself look young again for a short period of time. So he'll do this to appear to Arthur to convince him that he's Merlin. And then, because we got some quotes, and not to jump ahead, but one of the quotes that we did get from the episode was, "I don't want you to change. I want you to always be you." And I think that would fit in perfectly in this scene, because Arthur is, if it's Arthur telling Merlin, he's not saying, "I don't want you to have changed." You know, he's saying it in the future, "I don't want you to change." So I'm thinking we're going to have a scene like that with Merlin going, "But I'm still going to be me. I'm just going to be old powerful me," and Arthur's gonna be like, "No, but I like you the way you are," and Merlin's like, "Well, it's too bad, because and then, you know, that this that quote isn't in here, but there's another quote from the episode that would, I'm not gonna say it because it's a bit spoilery, but that would fit into this scene as well. I think that would make a lot of sense, because that way we would get the magic reveal between Merlin and Arthur that they know the fans want, but we would also end up with old Emrys. I'm not happy with this, but it would be a possibility.
I would be marginally okay with that. Like, I still wouldn't be 100% happy with it. But, I mean, I guess as long as we do get young Merlin, I'd
right,
be okay
for the magic
it.
Reveal. Just have yeah. more Merlin Arthur scenes with the two of them, not him as old.
If that is the case, and that line, that I don't want you to change line, is Arthur saying that to Merlin,
I'm just going to, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that feel, Jess.
Yeah, like, I almost started crying just listening to Selena describe Aww. The scene.
See, it would be so upsetting, but it would be better than him revealing it in old form, right? So that would be something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's my whole thing. I just think that, like, to really do any kind of magic reveal justice, he would have to look like the Merlin we know. Because that magic reveal is just as much for the viewer as it is for Arthur. It's the point that I know that they keep saying that the magic reveal isn't really that important in the grand scheme of things, but it really is. I mean, they're just, if they don't think it is, like, obviously, like, they're not watching the same show we are. But the fact that the whole premise of the story is that Merlin needs to keep his magic secret. That's the damn tagline. That was the tagline for the first series. How is it not important, you know?
I think it will be, because that's why they put it in the promo like that, like, yeah, with the black screen. I know that wasn't the writers, that was the BBC people, but someone thinks it's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go through, like, a couple of the scenes and, like, dialogue that we got that was released real quick, and then we can just talk about all of it, because I'm sure it'll overlap and everything. So, like, in the trailer, they show Morgana briefly, and she looks, like, really disheveled, like, with her head down on her throne. And then we also see, like, a contrasting view of Gwen on her throne, and she looks pretty regal, but she also looks kind of, I don't know, hard or something, like, over her face, but
sad.
Sad. That's a good description of that. Then some of the dialogue that was released was what you said, I don't want you to change. I want you to always be you. And so we're assuming that that might be Arthur saying it to him, but it could possibly be someone else because we don't know who said these things. Another one is, I was born to serve you, Arthur. I'm proud of that, and I wouldn't change a thing. And I think we can probably assume that might be Merlin.
It's like Gaius to Gawain.
Gaius to Gawain.
Plot twist.
Gawain is the true sorcerer.
And then there's another one. So, you're not an idiot. That was another lie. So,
oh, does that mean we're going to get an angsty reveal?
I know. I hope so. And then the last quote I kind of pulled out was, this is no mortal blade like yours. It was forged in a dragon's breath. So I feel like that's probably Mordred saying that to Arthur. And then, you know, I just had written down, like, do you guys, who do you think is going to die? Like, what other predictions and theories do you have? So let's just kind of talk about everything.
Gawain and Arthur. And maybe
nobody.
Leon or
nobody's
Percival.
Nobody's going to die. And Merlin's, nobody's going to die. Merlin's going to be young. And Morgana's going to be defeated. And it's going to be happy.
And then we get a flashback like to 2012. And they bump into each other in the middle of the road. And it's
yes.
Oh my god, yes. Can we yes. do that? That's like, say it ends horribly.
Yes, or yes. Merlin and Arthur walk into the same dorm room and Merlin the college year starts.
See, but I feel like we need to do that. Just like after the end, if it really, really, really ends horribly, we should just get together on Skype and we should record us just hashing out, you know, the reboot series.
Yeah. Top 10 ways Merlin could have ended better.
Yeah. No column.
I really feel like it. Everyone should die, personally.
What?
I like that. I like very tragic stories, and for some reason I really like the idea. But then I want them all to come back like in present day. Like
Rebirth.
I really like.
See, I would be okay with that because they're together forever.
Yeah.
Hopeless romantics. Yeah. That would make me happy.
It kind of goes with like Bellinor's thing about what was that quote that he said in this episode earlier about there is no goodbye for I'll always be as you will always be. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
If
I felt
they're
like
all once in future.
Yeah. And how like we were talking about like magic being in everything and everyone and like how it's like, oh, this would be perfect for like coming in the like present day.
Now, realistically speaking, I think that Mordred will probably die. I don't know that Morgana will.
No,
I mean,
Mordred.
Might. I don't.
Sorry.
Sorry. I can't picture all of the knights surviving. And as Selena keeps saying, Gawain would be the most impactful because he's the one that I think most people have connected to. Because even though Leon's been there the longest, he's just always been kind of like Mr. Stoic, immortal knight dude. And
right.
He'll probably remain immortal through this. And so at least one of the knights will probably die. And I can't even, like, I still have to say that Merlin and Arthur survived because I can't deal with either
one of
them.
One of them is
going to
die.
I
know
and
one
I
of them is
going to
die.
Don't tell me, la, la, la.
I want them not to die. Like, I want them not to die and then like, frolic back to Camelot together. but...
Frolic back.
Yes.
Skip their fields of daisies.
That's the visual image of them holding hands, skipping,
oh, God.
Swinging their hands, looking at each other.
Through a field, right, Jess? I see it too.
Even better, flying on the back of Kogara.
Oh, oh. Perfect! Perfect! And now I'm thinking Aladdin, A Whole New World, Magic Carpet.
I was just thinking that too.
It's all Disney, you guys. It can all be solved with Disney.
It is.
No, but seriously, I mean, like, okay, the thing is that we've always heard that the great thing about BBC's Merlin is that you're going to get the legends, but there's going to be a twist. So as much as I would want to bet on Arthur dying if it was one of them, because that would be the safe bet, I could just see them killing Merlin.
Yeah, and him becoming, like, walking into, like, the light with Balinor or something.
Yes, because not just because I'm really thinking that I will always be as you will always be is a blatant plug at a possible reincarnation, but also because the show is called Merlin, it would be more impactful if Merlin died.
Yeah.
And and it'll kill me.
I would rather
fulfilling his destiny.
You know what?
To save Arthur.
I would much rather have the characters dying, even if we don't get a reincarnation. I would much rather have the characters dying with the hint that they might be reborn in the future, rather than having Merlin live forever as this old, as a machine, live forever as this old Emrys alone, having to be forced to walk the earth. Because if that happens, then we know, like, if he's always going to be around as the same, then like, okay, the other characters could be reborn, and he could, like, take an anti-aging potion. It's like a Harry Potter thing, to, like, hang out with them, but it wouldn't be the same, you know? Mm. I just want them all to be together.
I know. You know what? You're totally right. I mean, like, how horrible would it be? Because, like, if one of them has to die, the least tragic, just from a character standpoint, would be Merlin. Because if Arthur dies, Merlin's going to live with failure. All Merlin has is following his destiny and saving Arthur.
And now he doesn't even have his youth.
I know. And it's, like, it's such a sad thing to think that his whole life literally has revolved around Arthur and making sure Arthur's okay. But that's fact. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I still think that what's going to happen is whoever is going to bite the dust is just going to be sitting there on the battlefield. The other one's going to be like, oh, don't leave me. And then they're going to go all once upon a time and they'll say, I will always find you.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Reincarnation.
It would be terrible if Arthur died and Merlin was left alone, because it's like such a bad message for, like, Christmas Eve. It's like, kids, if you try really hard, you'll fail at everything and you'll be left alone forever.
And you guys, like, the line, I was born to serve you, Arthur, I'm proud of that and I wouldn't change a thing. Like, I can so see that being, like, a deathbed line. Oh, God.
It's like, when Merlin's like, he's going to go give his life to in exchange for Arthur's, and he says, I'm proud to be your servant until the day I die. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
There's all these throwback lines to previous seasons, and it's just...
Oh, but seriously, though, like, I'm an Arthur fangirl. Like, I've not even tried to hide that. Like,
We all know where your loyalties
right,
lie.
Except for Mordred kind of crept up on me at the end. I was very surprised. But, so it's like, my two boys are killing each other. It's tough for me. But, so I've been, like, so focused on the idea of Arthur dying, because I think, like you guys are saying, I think that Merlin's, like, Arthur's death would be much worse, because with him dying, it takes away that Albion, you know, it takes away Gwen's husband, the knight's leader, Merlin's best friend. Whereas, I mean, Merlin dying would take away Merlin from everybody, which would be terrible. Arthur would be a wreck, and Gaius, poor Gaius. But I think at the same time, like, I've always thought of the idea of Merlin dying not as bad, but now that we're here, now that we're facing it, seeing how much he's already lost, like, that poor boy. He came to Camelot. Okay, he came to Camelot 5 years ago, or 5 seasons ago, just happy and like, la la la, I'm gonna serve the prince. Oh, he's kind of a jerk, but I like him anyway. And you know, he was naive and he was innocent. And in 5 years, everything has been taken away from him. He had this girl that died. He had a dad who died. He had a friend, Will, who died. He has stood at Arthur's side watching him knight all of these people, and he has still been stuck as a servant. He's never been able to reveal his true colors. Now, he has had his freaking youth taken away from him. I still can't get over that, if that's the end. Like, he'll see it as a worthy sacrifice to save Albion, but I don't. Like, I think it's so unfair.
It's so funny, because, see, I'm, like,
and
the
if
other
he dies,
way around.
You know?
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. Like, I feel like I sympathize more with Merlin, because he hasn't had anything. And
exactly.
In that sense, like, his death is going to be so much more tragic.
But that's what I was
going to
say.
Because, yeah. But the thing is, like, at the same time, it's like, if he lives and Arthur dies, it's like, he's doomed anyway. It's horrible.
See, but yes, that's what I was going to say. Until just these past couple of weeks, I've been thinking, oh, you know, Merlin, that's fine, whatever. But then as I've watched him, just be, because he's in this season, Colin Morgan has played it so beautifully, and he has, like, there's no denying, and he has played Merlin as just being broken and being wrecked. Finally, everything that's happened, like, has just caught up with him, you know? And I feel like if it ends with him dying, I mean, that would be like ending with Harry dying at the end of Harry Potter. Oh, but he came back. Oh, see, that's okay, what they should have done.
Oh,
they should have killed Merlin.
Happen.
And that's then what they should do.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Then he should like die as old Emrys and then come back as young Merlin again.
And then you can see Valinor again, and Valinor can be the Dumbledore in the train station.
Yes. Oh my god. There you go.
Yes, please. Okay, that I'm okay with.
I don't know. I just can they just both live? Please. I know it's like so delusional, and it's like it's way too beautiful of an ending, but it's just like it's like they can't live without each other. Arthur's going to be brokenhearted anyway. And then Merlin just gets a sucky life where, like, he doesn't even really get to see the fruits of his labor come to fruition. But if he lives and Arthur dies, he's just going to be broken because he failed. It's just, I just don't understand. Like, he's never had anything. And it just would, either way, I just kind of feel like it's going to be such a heartbreaking ending for his character. And he doesn't deserve it. Like, all he's ever done is do what he needed to do.
Mm, but, you know, we're saying all this. We don't actually know if he dies.
That's true. Remember. We're getting way ahead
of ourselves. We should say this, like, in the next podcast, you know. But
yes.
But it's true. I mean, but so should we just go around the table really quickly, just list off the characters? We should shout them out MuggleCast style. Okay, I'll go.
Like,
and then
die?
You got, yes, live or die. Okay. Merlin edition. okay, I'll go. I'll say them. You guys say live or die. Okay, Arthur.
Die.
You guys suck at this.
No one else is saying anything.
Because we're just so torn.
But seriously, live.
I'm going to say live, too. Live.
Ooh, okay, good. Okay, Gaius.
Die.
Live.
Live.
I still think he's gonna die. I still think he's gonna live.
No,
but okay.
Know.
Okay.
He's probably gonna live.
Okay.
Gaius is like Leon.
Leon.
He never dies. Well, Leon can't die, so
live.
He's gonna live.
Live.
Yeah.
Percival.
Die. I think he's gonna
really?
Die.
Percival, is that what you said?
Oh my god.
Die.
Okay. I think he's gonna live. I think the only knight who's gonna die is Gawain. Okay.
He's such burly. Arms, like
arms are gonna save him and knock them all out.
Yes, that's a good. That's the best argument I've heard. He's definitely living now. Okay.
Wait, do you mean it's the best argument you've ever heard?
Oh, but I'm bummed. Okay, Gawain.
Die.
Die.
Did you say Gawain or Gwen?
Gawain.
Okay. Die.
Actually, I'm gonna say Gawain's gonna live.
Okay.
I think Gawain.
Interesting. Okay, Gwen.
Live.
Live.
Live? Okay. Baby Arthur. No. Okay.
Yet to be decided.
Mordred.
Die.
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 Morgana.
Live.
Die.
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 Merlin.
Die.
I think he's gonna die too. Okay, I'm gonna be optimistic and say that he lives.
I'm gonna say live. I'm gonna say Merlin lives and Arthur dies.
I really hope I'm wrong on half of these.
I know. I want to be wrong on all of them except for whoever I said would live.
Well, I'm okay with the baddies dying, but...
Oh, yeah.
I hope Morgana redeems herself before she dies
somehow.
To be
honest with you, I think Morgana's going to live, but she's just going to be completely like a shell of herself.
She's going to be like a recluse. Like,
But if Morgana lives, then Merlin can't die.
Or maybe, because she kind of looks a little old and haggard when she's sitting on the throne, maybe Merlin goes all hocus pocus on her and sucks her youth from her.
Oh
and
my
then
god, yes!
Fun. Yes! See, it all comes back to Disney.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. Oh, wow. No, I still think, you know, if Morgana doesn't die, Merlin can die because Emrys has to be her doom.
That's true. One cannot live while the other survives.
Harry Potter. It's a horcrux. It's a horcrux.
Merlin's a horcrux.
But I think that Morgana. I mean, we in the episode with all my heart, we had a small hint when Mordred was talking to Morgana that she's doing all of this for a reason. You know, Katie McGrath has said she's doing all this because she truly believes it's the right thing to do. So I feel like there has to be some redeeming thing for her at the end. Not even her saving Arthur, no. Just something, just showing her humanity and that she's still a person and that she still has compassion or that she spares someone.
Merlin.
Yes, maybe she spares like Merlin or Arthur or Gawain or Percival or Mordred or some, you know, just something.
What
Gaius.
What if...
Gwen.
What if she sees Mordred kill Arthur, and then that's when she feels her remorse, and then she saves him, and that's what strips her of her magic.
Oh, maybe. See, I'm stuck on the idea. I want her to save Gwen.
Yeah, or maybe she gives her life for someone's, and that's her redemption.
Yeah,
and you know, this episode,
Aethusa,
both of them called each other like brother and sister, like around the round table. Arthur's like, my sister. And then when she's talking with Mordred, I think it was, she said, my brother. And so I don't know, like, there's now that all of a sudden they're like referring to each other like that. So that kind of seems interesting.
It yeah, does, that is definitely.
It could also, I mean, it could just be exposition, just reminding the audience, oh, look, they're brother and sister. But I think you're right. I think that connection between them, that has been at the core of the show since the very beginning. And I feel like that's one of the things that needs to be resolved. Like, we kind of got our Gwen, Arthur. I mean, they might have more, but I feel like we got that nice scene of them in the tent. I feel like that's why they brought Gwen along, is because they needed some final Gwen, Arthur stuff, right? We got a final Merlin, Gwen moment. We got some really nice Merlin, Gaia scenes, and we probably will have more of those. We had a very nice Gwen Merlin scene, even though Merlin wasn't in the scene with Gaius. And I feel like they're wrapping up all these little friendships, you know, these little duo connections. And I think that one of the most important ones, aside from obviously Merlin and Arthur and Gwen, is Arthur and Morgana, and Merlin and Morgana. But you know what I mean? Like, I hope that they address that. They've only got like 45 minutes.
This is kind of like digressing, but do you think Merlin's going to be the one to take Morgana out?
Yes.
Yes, he has to be.
Yes.
I mean, she's had that vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that stuff comes true, then obviously.
Because we've seen them now face each other with Morgana knowing who he is, but he's been stripped of his magic, so it doesn't really count. You know,
and now he's like extra powerful.
Exactly. So there, he's like super Merlin.
Super Merlin. That's the title of the episode.
Super Merlin.
Super Merlin.
That'd be
super
great for
Super Pokemon
SEO.
Merlin. Yeah. No. Yes. It's perfect. He is. Oh my God. It is so much like him. I like all these little analogies to like the Pokemon and the Superman and the Super Merlin. Like, it is him just taking on this powerful form, and that's it. That's like, it's like his battle gear. It's like his armor. It's not, and that's, I think we keep coming back to this, but it's not Merlin. It's not
the creators of the show, when they first came out with Merlin, did say that they kind of got the inspiration for the idea from Smallville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which ended with, you know, it was all about Clark Kent growing into Superman and into his destiny as Superman.
Right, but...
And so...
But he didn't physically change.
No,
I know. I still don't want him to be old Merlin, but I could see, like, if they had this plan from the beginning, I could see that being, like, a plan that they had.
But that's just the thing, is that I think I would, I mean, we have to, again, wait for the final episode until we judge. This is why we have TJ here, to make sure we don't. But you're not doing a very good job. No, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm doing a fine job.
But I would, no.
Yeah, you are.
I would rather us be all, like, up in a tizzy now, and then just be like, hey, we're sorry, Merlin showrunners.
You're right.
Like, in 3 days.
Get it all out now, guys.
Right, we should. But this is therapy for us. This is pretty much what it is.
It is.
So
how does this make you feel, Selena?
I'll tell you. No, I was just going to say, I just want to clarify, it's not the fact that Merlin is old that I have a problem with. I don't. If I feel like if the series had ended with Merlin turning into old Emrys, like say Arthur died, or we saw a flash forward of him helping him fulfill a destiny at the end of it, either by magic or just by the natural passing of time, we saw Merlin as old Emrys, and it was that moment of, oh wow, the legend just came full circle, that's amazing. I wouldn't be upset by it. I would be like, wow. You know, I would be surprised. I think it is the whole, we have so little Merlin left, and at the end of part one, we've had, like, in a sense, like, right now we're facing the possible reality that this is him from here on out, that we just had our last scene with young Merlin. And we figure we might see more of him in part two, but he's still going to be old Merlin. So I think it's just that idea of us having more Merlin to look forward to, but not really being sure that we're able to look forward to it. I think that's what's so upsetting, at least to me.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much my feeling of it too, because like I said before, it's like purely from a selfish fan's perspective. It's just that we've grown attached to seeing these characters one way, and it's just, I don't know, it would just feel so cheated if we didn't get, right, you know, that. But I mean, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that if the story is done properly, we won't be pleased with it. It's just, it'll always be disappointing. So.
Right. But, right. That's, okay. Let's give them a chance. I just think in this episode, like, overall, my thoughts in this episode was that there was a lot of really great stuff, but there was also still a lot of redundancy. Like, the whole Ira thing, I keep coming back to that. Like, that was the most ridiculous, pointless thing I have ever seen in my life. Merlin going to the cave to turn old, I still don't buy that. So I'm like, right now, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm not going to judge the show until it's over completely. But then I'm also thinking, shows have let me down in the past. Like, look at Lost, you know.
God.
Look at Lost. If you have any question, like showrunners aren't infallible. And I think sometimes they trip over their own feet, knowing what the audience expectations are versus what their original plan is. And they try to either give the fans what they want, but they're like, but we're not going to give them exactly what they want, so they'll be surprised. And then everyone ends up in tears. And so I feel like it's like 50-50 for me how excited I am for the final episode. And in a way, I'm glad, because I was so upset that the show was ending. And right now, I'm like, okay, well, I'll just have to see how it ends. It's like, calm me down.
Yeah, I agree. So maybe we should just stop talking about it. Because
stop.
We could go on for hours, and we don't really know what's going to happen, and it's worrisome. So on that note, I'll hand it over to Pamela for listener feedback.
All right. We're going to run through this pretty quickly, because we've already been for recording for we're running on over an hour and a half. So all this feedback is from Twitter. If you want to leave us feedback that you want to read, that you want to hear read on the show, you can feel free to do so by tweeting at us at twitter.com/talkscamelot. First feedback, piece of feedback comes from Shanna Luster, who says, "It broke my heart when Arthur called Merlin a coward. Owls in the TARDIS said all the feels. The crystal cave scenes were so emotional and beautiful. I just love seeing Merlin interact with Balinor again. And do you think Merlin is permanently old Emrys, like in the Arthurian legend, since he didn't use a potion, or did he?" And I think we kind of pretty much beat that over the head with a stick. So we'll move on. Melissa West said, "I'm hoping as I feel many others are, Merlin doesn't stay old. I didn't spend season 5 to watch old Merlin in the finale." Totally feel you there. Nikita said, "I loved the Merlin Arthur scenes. Balinor was awesome, but I don't like the end. Emrys is Merlin, not just the old man, I think." And then somebody whose name I can't pronounce, but is SXS Wheats, I think, said, "Diamond of the Day was excellent so far, but I'm still stuck on the emotion of Drawing of the Dark." Wow. And then Tariq, who is a Hypeable staffer, said, "I found this on Tumblr, thought I'd share. But I don't really think that old Emrys is Merlin's true form. I think he stepped into the light for one moment. Everything was clear and everything was pure, full of magic, full of Merlin himself, because he is magic. And then he knew what he had to do. And I think he changed into old Emrys because old Emrys is the epitome of please God no for Morgana since forever." So when Morgana sees Merlin again, it's not only, oh, you survived, but oh shit, you have magic. I think that his appearance as old Merlin is just his next step and is a hint for us of what's to come in a few days. I really hope that that's true, because like, I think we've pretty much said many times during this episode of Talks of Camelot, we just would really like to see Merlin young for the finale, for the majority of the finale. So that's it for listener feedback. Before we wrap up the show, we do want to remind you about all our contact information. If you want to leave us your feedback, or you want to send us in your thoughts or Merlin feels or anything like that, you can tweet us at twitter.com/talkscamelot. That's twitter.com/talkscamelot. You can also leave rather lengthy comments for us in the show notes on hypeable.com under the latest podcast episode. We read those, and we also interact with people that write to us on there. To continue the discussion with other fans of the show or other fans of our podcast, you can do so at the Hypeable fan forums. You can find those at forum.hypeable.com, and we are under the podcast lounge under Talks of Camelot. There are lots of ways to contact us. Don't feel shy. Just send in all your feedback, and we'll be reading a bunch of it, I'm sure, when we record the episode for the series finale sometime in the next couple of days. So that's it for us tonight. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you guys, all of you who stayed up, especially all you East Coasters, because it's pretty late now. We're recording really late on Sunday. And for Selena, who got up very early to be on the show.
I know! I got up at 5:30 on Christmas Eve for this, you guys.
Yes.
Happy Christmas for those who celebrate.
Merry Christmas!
Happy
Merry
Beltan,
Christmas. Yes,
they would say.
Yes, happy Yule.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's
enjoy
it.
Enjoy the final episode. Oh my
yes.
God, everybody.
Yes.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's true. I mean, above all, we should enjoy what we get, because this is pretty much, we've come to the end of the road. So we'll see you guys on the other side, and we'll be back very soon for our final episode rehash discussion. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm telling you, this episode has already started off ridiculously.
Forgetting your own name, Pamela.
I know,
really.
I'm here.
Pamela's here.
Pamela's here.
What was that even?
Oh, I don't even know.
You were reading it on the doc.
I was, actually.
I love that you got your grandma involved with fandom, by the way. I think that's the best thing I've ever heard.
My grandma, like, she's like, oh god, like, another boy that you're obsessed with. She's like, why don't you pick, like, cuter guys?
She didn't.
Yeah, she's got, like, does that, though. I'm just like, oh my god, grandma, look how pretty. And she's just like, oh my god. Okay, Arthur Dahl is in the dock.
I'm shocked.
And he's like, so.